just right where you stand. When you think about that song for just a moment, the God of the universe knows all 7 billion people on planet Earth right now, but he knows your name. And he hears when you call. Every one of us walked into this room this morning with something on our heart, whether joy, maybe something of sadness, maybe something that was a change in your life. But we just sung a promise that he knows my name. And I want us to sing this promise again over us this morning. And he knows my name. He hears me when I call. He knows each every thought. And in tears that we cry, he knows. Would you make this your prayer again? Let's sing it together again. He knows my name. Sing it one more time.
Knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when.
Father, we call on your name right now to hear the cries of our heart this morning. That we love you, we adore you, we thank you, we bless your name. Lord, we have declared to you that you and you alone are the famous one. Lord, there are many famous people in our world, but you and no other are the famous ones in our lives. Father, I pray by the power of your word that you would speak deep into our lives, into a scripture we're all very familiar with. But I pray, Lord, you would bring it to life again in a fresh and a new and exciting way that would speak truth into our lives, that would help us, that would change us from the inside out, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, I'm going to do something I don't think I've done very many times in my ministry, and that is I'm going to preach sitting down. Can you imagine that? Some of you think that's not possible. Well, I somehow developed something. How many of you ever had vertigo? You ever had vertigo? Anybody ever had vertigo? All right, so you know. I'm preaching with vertigo today, and so some of y'all, you're moving. I honestly, I can say I've never been drunk, but if this is what it feels like, I don't think I'm ever going to get drunk. I think I'm safe. That's supposed to be funny. Good night. Are y'all, I mean, holy cow. I don't know if I caught it in New York or how you get it, but man, there's like fish in my head, and so you feel like you can just kind of just teeter right on over. So I'm going to try to not teeter over by standing. I'm going to try to, I don't think I'll yell either. That'll be a nice change. My son tells me all the time, Dad, you yell a lot in church. So maybe I'll try to tone that down a little bit. We're grateful to be back. We've been in New York City for a week, and man, my children discovered how great a car is. After day two of walking, you know, a whole 10 blocks, the world had come to a crashing end, of course. And we enjoyed riding the subway and went to church last Sunday morning at one of our church plants planted just about 10 or 11 years ago that meets on the 18th floor of the Hotel Pennsylvania. We got to worship together with them from people from literally, I think, all over the world, people that spoke different languages. We got to worship with them and had a great time doing that. Grateful to have our own building, though. They'd have to set up every week. They do service four times a day. At 10, 11:30, 1:30, and 6 o'clock. Can you imagine, praise band? They're not up there anymore. Hello. They're down there. See, I told you. Taking some medicine. Makes me a little loopy, too. But I look forward to hearing this message on tape later on. That's for sure. Well, hey, T-Team, we are glad to have you back as well. They've been out and about and doing incredible things. We're grateful to have you back with us as well. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Psalm 23. Perhaps one of my favorite psalms. I know many of yours. It's a psalm that all of us know, that we have, some of us even memorized as a child. But I'm really asking the Lord would bring a fresh perspective to a psalm that we know very well, that you could hear and go, I already know that one really well. But I want to ask God to really give us something different. And I want to try to do that in a way that's very unique. And that is this. There's a book written by the guy by the name of W. Philip Keller. He was a shepherd in his years gone by, and he wrote a book that's a great book. I would encourage you to read it if you'd ever love to go deeper in this psalm. And the title of the book is called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. It's a Zondervan publication. It's a great book that really gives great insight. I'm going to share some of that with you today about what makes this psalm really come to life when you understand a shepherd and his sheep. Now, I don't know about you. I've been around sheep before, but I've never been a shepherd. I've never herded sheep. And I doubt many of you have as well either. But there's some incredible truths that jump off the page at us because we know that David was a shepherd. And so when he wrote this psalm, he wrote it from his perspective. Now, we don't know really when he wrote this psalm. Maybe he wrote it when he was being a shepherd, maybe in his younger years. Maybe after he had faced Goliath or running from Saul or maybe even from his son Absalom. But I have to think and wonder that he didn't write this psalm when he looked back on his life. He reflected on who God was and what God had done in his life and how God had been his good shepherd. Now, most of the time we hear this psalm, we only hear it at funerals, don't we? We hear people either quote it or preach a message from it. I've got several sermons on Psalm 23 that I've used at different funerals, at graveside services. But you don't have a lot of time to really unpack what's in this incredible psalm that has so much to say to you and to me. We see images all throughout the Bible of the Lord being our shepherd. We see Jesus call himself the good shepherd. We'll talk about it at the end of our message out of John chapter 10. What's interesting is that Jesus calls us sheep. Now, I want to tell you some things about sheep. Maybe you didn't know that. I didn't know as I learned over the last years as I've studied this message before. And be quite honest, I think you'll be completely, It's very unflattering to be called a sheep. And yet that's what God calls his children, a sheep. Now, what do we know about sheep? Well, I think Michael's got a picture of us of a sheep. Just to make sure you know what a sheep looks like. I think you know. No, not that kind of sheep, Michael. Those kind of sheep. Yeah, that's right. The other one's pretty funny, though. I like that one. We're a sheep. What do we know about sheep? Well, here's what we know about sheep. Sheep are four things, all right? Number one, sheep are dumb, all right? Just look to your neighbor and say, you are a sheep. Just go ahead and tell him. Just say, you are a sheep. Go ahead and tell him you're a sheep, which means you're dumb, all right? Isn't that good? A sheep is one of the dumbest animals that God created, all right? They are obstinate. They are hard-headed. They are scaredy cats. They are afraid of their own shadow. I mean, they are dumb, dumb animals, all right? Not only are they dumb, they're dirty. They're dirty. They get all this stuff into their wool. They get all the briars, and they roll in the dirt. And like unlike other animals, they clean themselves. A cat, they clean themselves. You get other kind of animals, they make sure they stay clean. Not a sheep. A sheep is very content to be dirty, nasty, smelly, stinky. That's a sheep, all right? So far this morning, I want to help your self-esteem. You are dumb and you are dirty. You feeling good about yourself so far? All right, thirdly, not only that, you are directionless, okay? Ladies, I'm not talking about your husbands. They don't know where to go, okay? I don't mean that. But I mean that they wander aimlessly. Sheep are known to wander off of cliffs. They are wandering, they get away from home and they cannot find their way to get back. They get lost easily. So you ladies going, that sounds like my husband. Now we have GPS. It doesn't happen quite as much as it used to. But I can remember my mom would definitely have called my dad a sheep back in the day before we had no way. He said, I just know it's got to be the next turn. It has to be. You get lost. All right? So they're dirty. They're dumb. They are directionless. And the last one, they are defenseless. They have no way to protect themselves. They have no defense mechanisms. They have no poison, no porcupine quills. They have no way to lay down and play dead. Or they have no way to defend themselves. They get scared easily. They panic as a group. And if they get scared easy, if they're hungry, they will not lie down and rest. Sheep will die because they literally get so panicked and so afraid they will not lay down and rest. So Jesus calls you and I this morning sheep. So I just want to encourage you this morning. You are dirty. I am dumb. Amen. That's good. I am directionless. I know I'm obstinate. I know I'm hard-headed. And I am defenseless. But as we stop and think about this incredible truth, how true is that of our lives? But the good news is, in spite of us being those things, we have a great shepherd. Jesus is the exact antithesis of those things. He is the opposite. The Bible tells us he's not dumb, he's smart. He is wise. I was sharing with the middle school class, the Sunday school class this morning, life group class, that God has already seen and knows everything about your life. God has already seen the beginning of your days, the middle of your life, the end of your life. If you live a long time or a short time, God has already seen all of that before you ever breathed your first breath. God is wise. He sees and knows all things. Not only that, the Bible says, not only is he the shepherd, the Bible calls himself the Lamb of God. What does that mean? It means he identified and he became on the human side as a sheep. The Bible says he was the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. The only Lamb that could do that was one who was spotless, who was sinless. The Bible also says that he is not directionlessness. He is sure. He is steady. He is a rock. One on whom we can depend and count on, just like that sheep depend upon their shepherd to guide them, to direct them, to lead them, to take care of them, to provide for them. That is who our shepherd is. Then lastly, and the greatest news of all, he is our Savior. He is not defenseless. He made himself in that way, didn't he? He led himself. The Bible says he became a sheep that was led to the slaughter when he gave his life for you and me. What's interesting to note about this, if you know your biblical history, you'll know that shepherds were one of the lowliest jobs, if not the lowliest job in the Jewish day. And yet Jesus calls himself the great shepherd. A shepherd, by the way, lived with his sheep 24 hours a day. He didn't have days off. He was there with his sheep in the good weather and the bad weather, in easy situations and dangerous ones, taking care of their every need, even at times risking his own life for his flock. Now, before we ever dive into these truths, and there's four truths I want to talk about this morning, I want you to notice in the very beginning of the verse 1, and we might miss it because we've heard it so often, we might miss what is there. And David says it's not out of pride, not out of being braggadocious and saying, well, look at who I am. But he says it out of a heart of gratitude and gratefulness, where he says this statement, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jump back to verse number 1 with me. What he says is, the Lord is my shepherd. He doesn't say, well, he is the shepherd or a shepherd, or I know about a shepherd, I heard about a shepherd, I've admired the shepherd. No, this is a personal, close, intimate, personal relationship that David had with the Heavenly Father, his shepherd, when he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, I've often used this scripture many times. And to be honest with you, there are times that I've sadly had to stand over a casket and wonder and even doubt, did this person really know the Lord was their shepherd? So I want to start right out of the gate, just right out of the very beginning. Let me ask you a question. I want everybody looking right here at me. Is the Lord your shepherd? Can you say with confidence and assurance that the Lord is your shepherd? You say, well, I think I know him. I know somebody who knows the shepherd. My parents knew the shepherd. That's not what I ask you. I ask you this question, do you know the shepherd? And does he know you? The Bible says in John 10, he says that he is the good shepherd. And the Bible says the sheep hear his voice. They know the voice of the shepherd. Do you know the voice of Jesus this morning? I want to let you know just right out of the gate that if you don't know that he is your shepherd, you can know today before you leave this building that he is your shepherd. So, well, Brad, how can I know that? I've heard about the shepherd. I've heard about Jesus. I've heard about what the shepherd has done or what he can do, but I don't know if he's my shepherd. And God brought you in this morning. God put this on my heart when I was preparing this message, that there will be somebody here this morning before we ever dive into the meat of the text that you don't know the Lord is your shepherd. And right now, I want to tell you how you could know. How you know he's your shepherd is you know the ABCs. You admit to God that you are a sinner, that you cannot get to heaven on your own, that you fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says all is sin and falling short of the glory of God. Not only do you admit to God that you're a sinner, you ask him to forgive you of all of your sins, both what you will commit, what you have, and what you will do. And say, God, I want you to forgive me of all of my sins. I want to ask you to come and forgive me of all those sins. The second part is to believe with my head and with my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God who came and died for me, gave his life up for me. While I was still a sinner, he died for me. And I believe that he died and rose again just for me. Not only the B of believe, but the C of confess. I confess him as my Savior, that I cannot save myself. I cannot do enough good things, enough right things. I can't be a moral person, a nice person, and think that will get me to heaven. And I commit my life to him as Lord. Meaning this, I say, Lord, you are my shepherd. You are the boss. You're in charge. Lead my life. I want to encourage you, when we come to our time of invitation in a moment, if you've never said that prayer, I'm going to pray a prayer that it goes along with what I just shared with you. And you can know and walk out of these doors assured that the Lord is your shepherd. And church family, listen, a lot of you already know that he is your shepherd. Listen to me. I just very easily, for about the, 50th time since I've been here, told you how you can help somebody know the Lord is their shepherd. A, B, and C. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Four locations where the Lord is our shepherd. Number one, it's in the pasture. It's in the pasture. In the pasture of life, the Lord provides adequacy. I shall not want. Now, if I were to ask some of us, are you in want of anything? Now, our team that just got back from Haiti, Jody and Annabeth, Melanie, those I saw, Wanda, they were here this morning. Sylvie, you realize now more than ever before, you are not in want of anything, are you? You have more than you ever could possibly use. You're very cognizant of that. However, in our consumeristic culture, and wow, go to Times Square, and you talk about seeing a want in our world, it's over. Humongous life-size billboards everywhere of what you want and need right then. I mean, they have the world's largest Toys R Us, a four-story Toys R Us with a Ferris wheel in the middle. Hello. I mean, my kids went bonkers. I mean, they wanted everything in the store. They needed everything in the store. I mean, you go to our Toys R Us here in Hattiesburg, and you've got one section of Hot Wheels cars. They have a whole floor of Hot Wheel cars. You think you want five pieces of Legos? They have Lego statues of dinosaurs and Hulk and all kinds of things, the Empire State Building, and just piles and piles and piles of Legos. Our world says I want and I need. And yet the psalmist says here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Where's the disconnect? We've missed the disconnect in Christian culture, and that we live just like the world, and we're always thinking I need something. I'm always thinking I want something. And yet if I'm a child of God, the Bible says that I will not want for anything. The Bible says in Psalm 84, verse 11, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So let me encourage you this morning. If you find yourself in want, then let me encourage you. Maybe you're walking in the wrong place. Maybe you're seeking after the wrong things that make you feel like you are in want. And by the way, you can lose everything the world deems important and still not be in want. Because what God's talking about here is that which is eternal, that which will last forever. And you can't lose that. But sometimes we're like sheep, or like my next door neighbors in Alabama, my cows. Some reason their grass wasn't good enough, just like a sheep. And so they had to get through the fence to come and trounce in my yard and deposit things and leave them there in my yard. We had not moved to Alabama. We'd been there maybe not even a couple of weeks. And my wife calls me, this panicked voice, Brad, why? What's wrong? There's something in the front yard that's chasing me. I say, what? What is it? I'm about ready to get my car, get my gun, and go shoot. It's a cow. It's chasing me. The cow had gotten out of the fence next door and was chasing her around the yard. Why? Wanted that grass. That grass looked greener than the grass they had. But their grass, my grass, isn't the kind of grass they had. Mine was a zoysia grass, and they don't really like that. They want the bahia, the hay kind of grass, but it looked better over there. But we're just like those sheep, though. We can't be content. We think, I got to have what they got. It's what we call keeping up with the Joneses, right? I got to have what they have. They got a boat, I got to have a boat. If they got two cars, an extra car, I got to have an extra car. If they got this TV, I got to have this TV. If their kids can do this, and my kids have got to do this. But thank goodness in church, we don't have to worry about that because we don't worry about those kind of issues. Right? Wrong. I shall not want. Let me ask you a question. Are you in want this morning? Good news, if we are in want, God promises to do four things for us. Number one, He will give us rest. The Bible says here, He makes me to lie down. Did you notice that? He makes me to lie down. David didn't say, I willingly laid down. The Bible says that the shepherd laid them down. Now, what does he mean by that? Sometimes we don't realize we need rest when we do need rest. And sometimes the shepherd lets us get sick to remind us. Or in a hospital bed facing the ceiling. And then we realize, I need to rest. We live in a world that tells us we got to go, 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 go. When the Bible says there are times we need to rest. That's why I believe Sunday is the Lord's Day. It is a day of worship and of rest. That's why you'll never drive at my house and see me mowing my grass. You won't see me working in my yard. You won't see me doing work. Because it's a day of rest. And our culture says you got to go, 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 7 days a week. Don't stop. We got to rest. We'll burn out. We won't make it. Not only do we not have to rest, the Lord says, I will give you refreshment. The Bible says here, He leads me beside still water. Now, I don't know if you know this about sheep. I sure didn't, but you cannot drive sheep. You can drive cattle. You can drive other animals in herds, but you have to lead sheep. Hence why He says here, He leads us beside still waters. Now, what's so important about still waters? Well, you also know about sheep. Sheep are terrified of moving water. They will get nowhere close to it. And so the shepherd had to know enough about his sheep to know to find the right spot. Either it was a still water or if it was a moving water, he would take rocks and make a smooth place, a quiet place, and make a dam so that the water would be still because the sheep would die. They were so scared of it, they will never get near the water if it's moving. He gives us refreshment. How does God refresh us today? With His Word, with His resources, with His presence. To quench our thirst, we will never be thirsty again. But if we're not careful, we're just like those sheep. And the shepherd will be leading a sheep, this whole herd together, and they'll be coming along the way, and there'll be mud puddles along the way. And the shepherd is leading them towards the good water, the pure water, but the sheep are so obstinate, so dumb, that they drink out of this infested, full of bugs and all kinds of things in the water. They'll drink that and not wait for the good water. And yet how we do the same thing, don't we? We're willing and okay to drink from the dirty water when God says, I've got something so much better for you. Drink of the good water, the still water. Not only does He give us rest and refreshment, He gives us restoration. The Bible says He restores me. The word literally means to bring back my soul. And what's the connotation of this? This is really important. I don't know. I didn't know this about sheep either. Maybe you did. When a sheep falls over on its back, it bleats out the famous commercial from years gone by. I'll say the first part. You say the second. I've fallen. All right. A sheep that was on its back was called a cast sheep. It was on its back, and it would eventually die. It would panic. It would bleat. It would kick its legs. But for whatever reason, the sheep is so dumb, it cannot figure how to roll over on its side. And eventually, if left upside down long enough, the sheep will die. That sheep's been over there long enough, the shepherd comes and finds it. You can't just take the sheep and flip him over and turn him up right side up and just say, all right, you're good to go. The shepherd would literally begin to rub the sheep's legs to kind of guide it Sometimes the shepherd had to carry the sheep. Until the sheep was able to walk again. Do you get the picture? How many times have you found yourself upside down in life? Sometimes of our own choosing. Sometimes of circumstances that were beyond our control. And we're on our back bleeding for help. And our good shepherd comes. And he's gentle. And he's kind. And he's merciful. He doesn't come and say, well, good night. Get off your back, you dumb sheep. How did you get there again? That's how we think God thinks about us sometimes. But God lovingly, just as the shepherd did with his sheep, picks us up. That's why you often hear the statement you said, you know, you got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. That's not what God says. God says, I'll pick you up and I'll carry you. The last one here, he guarantees the right way. He guides me. Remember we said that sheep wander directionless, right even off a cliff. Needed a guide. And so do we need a guide as well. Psalm 32 verse 8, the psalmist said this statement. He said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eyes upon you. Now, Satan, many times, he will say, come this way. But he is not the good shepherd. He is only a pretend shepherd. And by the way, the word path means a well-worn rut. It was a sheep, a path where the sheep would come so many times because they, again, didn't have direction. They would stay in that same path over and over and over again. It became a rut. Maybe some of you find yourselves in a rut today. I've been there before. Doing the same old, just because that's what I'm supposed to do. Life gets drab and boring and God seems distant because we get in a rut. So the shepherd would lead them on a new path. They would always look for the rut because that's what was comfortable. That was what was easy. And sometimes even wander off of the road. But you know what's so great? Jesus talks about in Luke chapter 15 about a shepherd. And every night when the sheep would come in, they would go down for the night, sometimes in an area where near some rocks. Maybe it was a pen from time to time. But mostly he just gathered them all together and he would count his sheep to make sure all of his sheep were there. And as they came in the fold, he would examine each sheep. And Jesus tells a parable one night of the shepherd counting, and he counted and he counted and he came up short. He had 100 sheep, but he only counted 99. He went back and he counted again and again and he counted. And maybe they were moving. And so he got them all still. And he counted again. One was missing. The Bible says the shepherd left the 99 and went and found the one. See, that's how I know that my God cares about me as an individual. Did he not care about the 99? Oh, yes. But they were safe and secure. And Jesus left the 99 and went and found the one. Hey, guess what? You're one of those ones. He left the 99 to come and call your name. For me, it was on November the 7th, 1979. I heard it clear as a bell. The shepherd called my name. I was lost, but then I was found. I was blind, but then I could see. Are you in want this morning? Are you missing something? There is a deep want in your life. Maybe you're even wanting for things physically, financially. When you're wondering what's going on, well, let me encourage you. Perhaps you're not being a good steward of what God has given you, because the Bible is clear, we'll not be in want. We make wise decisions we'll have what we need. Not everything we want, but what we need. So my question, are you looking in the right places for what you want? Will you this week listen to the voice of the shepherd and follow him? And he says, if and when we do, we will not want. Let me ask you a question. Some of you this morning, maybe this is you. You just need some rest. You are tired. You're weary. Maybe you're exhausted physically, emotionally. Maybe even some of you spiritually this morning, you are absolutely exhausted. Can I give you a word of encouragement this morning? I don't know if you can get this picture in your mind of that sheep. And the shepherd would get that sheep and hold him especially close and give it rest. Jesus said, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, that word sounds good in our hustle and bustle world, doesn't it? We're about to start back school, and life's about to go full tilt, full assault. I'm already thinking, oh, I can hardly wait till Christmas. Some of you, can I just encourage you? Would you just visualize in your mind crawling up next to the shepherd and taking his yoke and letting him take yours? He said, I am gentle and lowly in heart. Some of you need to find rest for your souls. Some of you need to find that he is all that you need. Thirdly, do you need refreshment for your soul? The water, by the way, is calm. It is still. Jesus said in John chapter 7, all of you who are thirsty, come of the water and drink freely from the water which never ends. And out of you will flow rivers of living water. You remember the lady in John chapter 4, she had come at the woman at the well, and Jesus said, I'll give you some water, well, you'll never thirst again. And this lady's like, wow, I'll never have to come to this well ever again and draw water. And she didn't get it. She's a sheep. She's like me and you. She was dumb. Jesus wasn't talking about physical water. He said, I want to give you water that's so much better. It is a water that will last forever. It will quench, watch this, the thirst of your soul. And listen, when that happens, sometimes we don't share Christ with others because we need rest or we need refreshment. You see, sharing Christ with others, living a godly life, shouldn't come out of a, we got to work it up, or it ought to come out of a natural, for the most part, though there are seasons in our life when it won't, but by and large, it comes naturally. We want to follow the shepherd. We want to share because it comes out of an overflow, because we're full, and when a vessel is full, it overflows. And it shares with a hurting and lost and dying world. We told our boys, when we went on this trip to New York, we did the last part of our trip was fun. The first part of our trip, we were doing some work. Rebecca's on a medication for her arthritis, and so we got selected. It's a long story, but got selected to do this commercial, which morphed into this web-based deal. We're not really sure what it's going to be, but we went into this knowing that every person just about we were dealing with were lost. Completely. It's a girl, that young lady that we met from Seattle, Washington, who works with Rebecca and kind of is kind of like an advocate for her, and sweet gal named Nicole. And sometimes we get in the Bible Belt, and we forget that there are people in our country who have no clue about God or Jesus whatsoever and have never, ever, ever, ever stepped foot inside of a church. Never. We ate at a pizza place, sadly, in New York, one of the greatest pizza places in New York, largest supposedly. You know where it's located? Inside of an old church. Two brick ovens to the side of where the piano and the organ would have once sat in this great tabernacle. It's called a gospel tabernacle. She began to ask questions. Now, my tendency was, I'd love to just lay the gospel on her. Just, man. She's a sweet gal, 30 years old, probably living with her boyfriend. But we just began to talk and share our life with her. The production company all knew that I was a preacher. And sometimes, like you, they think that preachers are, you know, different. You know, we can walk on water and we don't ever do normal things that normal people do because we're a preacher. And because you're a preacher, you're super holy and your wife's perfect and your kids are perfect. Right. Y'all can laugh. Are y'all awake? Holy moly. I'm almost done, I promise. So they made a remark, and this is the moment I was waiting for. They made a remark, and I can't remember what it was. We were in the middle of filming. They said something like, you know, well, that's what a preacher does. And I said, whoa. And I said, funnily, I said, I'm normal just like you. I have to put my pants on one leg at a time. Our goal was to let them know that we were normal people who just happened to love Jesus a whole lot. Because they asked some questions like, well, how do you deal with arthritis? And how do you deal with this in your family? And how do you, and we just began to talk and to share my heart with her. She asked one time, she said, why are you a preacher? It's a good question. I've asked myself that question before. She said, do you love what you do? I said, that's what God created me to do. See, here's the thing we're missing. We've got to share out of the overflow of who God is in our lives and what he's done. And just be real. The last one, maybe you've fallen and you can't get up. You're on your back. You've messed up one more time. You said you wouldn't and you did. And your life's a wreck. So I've got some words for you. Get your bootstraps, pull them up, and get moving. Don't want to hear any excuses. Nope. I just want you to lay there and just simply say this prayer. Lord God, I am needy and a mess. I need you to help me. And your shepherd, listen to me, will come pick you up. Get you back to health. And there in the arms of the shepherd, we confess our sins. We tell him where we've gone wrong, how we've broken his heart, how we've strayed from the fold, how we've gotten lost. Then we say, Lord, would you put me back on the right path? Good news. He will. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He is adequacy. He is everything that you will need for the first part of the journey called life. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this powerful word. And Lord, I'm glad to know we got other Sundays. We'll finish this up because there's so much more that is here. Now, Lord, for some reason, you want me to get stuck here or I stuck myself here. I'm not sure which, but Lord, I just believe this is where we need to be for every person that is here. Lord, for just a moment, I just want to give people a time to stop and think. Maybe some are lost that we talked about. They don't know Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. They know they can't say that he is my shepherd. So, Lord, I just want to give them a moment right where they sit in their chair to pray a prayer just like this with every head bowed and every eye closed, just between you and the Lord. You can just repeat it silently to yourself. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I admit that to you. And Lord, today I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Lord, I believe that you are the good shepherd, that you love me enough to come and die for me, to save my soul. And Lord, today I confess you as my Savior, that you and you alone can save me. And I commit my life to you as Lord. Lord, I promise to follow you for the rest of my days. Still with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you prayed a prayer like that in just a moment, I want to encourage you to step out of where you are and come and grab Charlie and me by the hand and say, that's me. I want him to be my shepherd today. Today is my day. I'm ready. For others this morning, you're lost. You're directionless. You're exhausted. You need refreshment and rest. Good news. He's there waiting. Maybe your response this morning is to come to this altar and just bow before your good shepherd. Or maybe to literally, some of you need to do this morning. And I know it maybe sound odd to you, but you just need to, in your mind, maybe in that chair, maybe in a corner of this room, we'll leave the lights down. You just need to go and just cuddle up next to your shepherd, Jesus. And say, oh God, I need you to restore my soul. Or, oh Lord, I need you to forgive me because I have gotten so far off the path. Maybe some, it's for you to come and join this church family and say, I want to be busy. I don't want to just be an attender. I want to be a member of a church that really has a deep and abiding heart to be on mission to share the good news and love of Jesus Christ with a hurting, and lost world. That starts right here in the community of Petal. Father, I pray you'd have your will and your way with us as the good shepherd. That we'd be listening to your voice, and that we'd respond to your voice and not make excuses. Lord, so many times we do that. Well, it's not the right time. I don't know enough. I don't know all the answers to all my questions. What will somebody think of me? Lord, we'll put all those excuses aside. Lord, I believe there's at least one person here that needs to make that decision and other decisions that need to be made this morning. And so I pray you'd give them the boldness and the courage to come and say yes to follow you. Father, may we be obedient. Lord, as we sing this incredibly powerful song, I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted because you were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Or maybe we respond right now to that which you have placed in our heart and our lives. Lord, make us sensitive, Lord, if you want us to go to somebody else to pray with them, to love on them, to encourage them, to wrap our arms around them and say, I'm going to pray for you or with you. Lord, lead us and guide us in this moment of invitation. It's so important. May you guide us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Let's worship together. Let's respond together. What God calls us to do. We're at the front to receive you. Come right now. Let's sing together.